This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Carbonville trying to punch their quarterfinal ticket. Tied at 35, third and 10. Halfback pass. Dixon down the field. Caught! Jameson! Touchdown! Cavies! Can you believe it?
The ball will be over on the left hash mark, as it looks like they're bringing the field goal kicking team in. Remember last week, Anna Jonesboro won the ball game with a field goal with 1 second to go. Snaps back, the ball's down, it kicks up, it's high, it's long, and it's good!
And with that, wow. Carlinville and North Max still alive. Carlinville traveling to Newton today, 3 o'clock kick. Tolono Unity will be at North Mac to take on the Panthers. That's a 2 o'clock kick. And that broadcast of North Mac Tolono Unity will follow our coverage of Carlinville and Newton. Pre-game coverage from Newton, 2:45 this afternoon here on FM 106. And we'll stream it all at WSMIRadio.com. And what two different types of games it was last week. Good morning, Tim Mize with you. David Jenkins along for the show today. And Carlinville won it 42-35. North Mac won 10-7 last week. And if the Cavies and Panthers both win today, they will square off next week in the state semifinals with a trip to Memorial Stadium and the state championship on the line. But a lot of football between now and then for both Carlinville and North Mac. We're happy to be joined on the phone now by the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, Chad Easterday. Coach, good morning, sir. How are you?
Great. You guys?
Hey, we're doing very well, and it's always nice here as we near the middle part of November to still be playing football, is it not?
Yes, it is, especially for us. You know, last year at this time, we were collecting equipment, so, you know, we're very, very pleased to play another week.
Chad, we'll get to your game against Newton in a moment, but I want to look back to last week. That was one of the best high school football games I might have ever seen in terms of quality of play. Sensational.
Well, I tell you what, it can't be put any better than that. Coach Toots and I talked both before and after the game about how well our teams matched up against each other. And I was just very, very pleased that it was won by kids making plays. And it was not won by a fluke or by a miscue or those types of things. And that happens in high school sports. I understand that, and I'm not saying anything but about negative. I'm just saying that environment was one of the best I've been in a long, long time in terms of strategies and kids doing exceptional things that both on both sides of the ball.
Well, I think you told us last week on this show that if you could hold Jace Franklin to around like 185 yards, you'd be happy. I think it was 187.
Well, I don't know that stat, but I just knew, like, we talked it. And I'll be honest, it's a Steve Kimbrough philosophy about great scorers in basketball. You don't stop them. You slow them down when you get to this round and these people. So, you know, that was our going into our game. We knew he would make plays, and how well we reacted to them and kept them to a minimum is what we did. And I thought defensively, you know, our kids and Coach Steiner played and called a great game.
Absolutely. And as I was getting ready in terms of preparation for this week's game, I looked at the stats, and I can't ever remember in the last 2 years preparing for a game and seeing the opposing running back with more yards than Jacob Dixon. But, boy, Mitch Bierman, he is a load.
Yeah, you know, he is a different style runner than what we saw last week. On film, and it's hard to tell because we don't have a lot of comparative schools to look at, but he may not have that burst that Jacob does, but I really think he finishes runs. I think their offensive line does a good job with staying within their system, and he grinds it out. And, you know, those are things that we're going to have to prepare for today.
I remember, I think Dave Bates told us on the road to Champaign as Auburn played them in week one that it was kind of like an old-school Big Ten type of offense where they line up in I formation and they're coming straight downhill at you.
Yeah, it reminds me of Stanford and the old Michigan teams. And I tell you what, it wasn't so long ago when we were in the wing team when Brendan Stewart and Corey Fernetti were here that, you know, that was us. Everybody knew it was coming, and if you could defend it, then you had your best, then you could probably beat us. And if you couldn't, then that wasn't going to happen for you today. So, you know, it's very similar to that style.
It's amazing how much high school football has changed in a short amount of time where the spread offense is really primarily what you see throughout the year. So, Chad, my question would be, how do you simulate that type of size and power in practice in preparation for this game?
That's hard. I mean, if anyone tells you that it's easy, they're lying to you. Excuse me. I mean, you don't. You try to play a little half line. You try to just make sure your kids are in the right spots. And I don't think you simulate it totally. You just try to make sure that you do a little extra scouting, and maybe you can get a tendency on what type of scheme they're running on first down versus third down, and maybe try to get an edge in that area on them. Because I just don't think you can do it.
You mentioned how big your defense was last week. We've talked about it throughout the year, how your defense has really been sensational throughout the entire season. And does this feel to you like a game to where your defense is going to win it for you?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think the things we did last week are any different than we're going to do this week. We got to hold him within 200 yards. We got to keep the first downs down. That was something different that we talked about last week. You know, they're a grinded out team, so we can't allow them to put four or five first downs in a row and then force them to punt. We got to get some three and outs there, or four and outs, as we are calling them, where you're minimizing that, because obviously if they have the ball, we can't score. And I think the other thing is, this week we got to put our offense on the field, and we got to get up early. You know, that style of offense never lends itself to being behind, and they haven't been behind a lot this season. So I think that's another key point in the game.
Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, joining us here on Sports Saturday. And, Chad, it's been a long time since this great Carlinville program has been this deep in the postseason. Talk a little bit about kind of the mood around town and the school this week.
Oh, coming off the atmosphere that we had last week, it has just carried over throughout the week. And, the tradition, as we've talked before, is very, very deep and rich here. And, I think this was one of the goals of these 15 seniors, that when we started the year, that's what they wanted. And they wanted to be where no one else had been for a while. And I don't even know that I should. I apologize. I think it's been 15, 16 years since we've been this deep. It was 01, I think. Yep. We went down to DeCoin and played. But, it's a great atmosphere. It'll be another great day, both climate-wise and atmosphere-wise over there.
Health-wise, how you looking, Chad?
Look, we're healthy. Our depth has been that way all year, and we've, knock on wood, have not sustained any major losses, and hopefully that'll stay true today.
What time are you guys heading over to Newton?
Well, actually, we're eating biscuits and gravy right now at school, and then we'll load the bus at 10 and get over there. We'll have a little Subway, and Coach Easterday loves to be early. So I catch a lot of grief on my coaching staff that we're there before the custodial staff most of the time, and I like to get the lay of the land, and so our kids feel like a home game. So we're going to leave about 10 o'clock.
Well, and especially when you're traveling as far as you are, it's good for the kids to be able to get off the bus, get stretched out, and get ready.
Yeah, I would agree with you, but I'm in the minority on the the other seven on my coaching staff. They don't like to mill around stuff, but I'm an early riser. I've been up since 4:30 and got my run in this morning, and I could have loaded the bus at 7. I was ready to go. So, I at least held off till 10.
Awesome. Chad, it's been a great season. We certainly hope it has a few more legs left in it. We'll talk to you next week, sir.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, guys.
Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers. The Cavies will be at Newton this afternoon, 3 o'clock kick. We'll have live coverage at about 2:45 today on WSMI FM 106. And, David, you heard him talk about the game last week versus the game this week. Totally different styles.
Probably won't be a shootout, especially with a team like Newton. I mean, I know Carlinville can score points, but with a style like Newton, Newton's primarily going to try to run the clock out. Like, they keep the ball on the ground, they're going to keep it for a long period of time, no matter if they score or if they don't. So maybe not as high scoring. Points might be scored, but maybe not, 70-something, 80-something combined points?
Oh, I can't believe that would be the case today, but hey. You never know how a game is going to unfold. But either way, if it's a shootout or a low-scoring affair, I think Carlinville, they're in good position to win either style of game.
They are. They are. And you wonder, just coming from that area of the state, you wonder if Newton has seen a team similar to Carlinville. I mean, we've talked about how Carlinville hasn't seen a team that plays like Newton. You wonder if Newton has seen a team that Carlinville plays.
It goes both ways.
It does.
It absolutely does. So Carlinville's at Newton today. Of course, the Cavs 10-1 in the 4 seed. Newton's undefeated at 11-0. They beat Auburn in the first round, put up 61 points, and then beat Pena in the second round of the playoffs. I think 35-13 was that final. So for Newton, they're getting back-to-back South Central Conference opponents here. And, of course, Pena beat Carlinville by 2 points earlier in the year. But to me, Carlinville was the better team. They just lost.
Yeah, I think that Payne and Newton game was closer than the final score indicated, because I believe it was 21-13 in the second half at one point. I think Payne may have lost their quarterback for a time, and that's when Newton kind of went up. So it was a lot closer than 35-13. And we mentioned how Carlinville hasn't seen a back like Mitch Bierman this year, but I don't know that Newton has seen a back like Jacob Dixon. So, I mean, like you said, it goes both ways.
Yeah, I would venture to say they have not seen a back like Jacob Dixon.
It's hard to say. They do play some pretty big schools in that area, too. So
they do.
You never know.
But Jacob Dixon is...
He is. Special talent.
Absolutely. So, going to be a lot of fun this afternoon over in Newton. 3 o'clock kick, live coverage at 2:45. We'll stream it as well at WSMIRadio.com. Then following our Newton-Carlinville ball game, we will have the broadcast of North Mac and Tolono Unity. That'll be a 2 o'clock kick this afternoon. We'll have the broadcast at about 5 o'clock this evening here on FM 106, and we'll stream it as well at WSMIRadio.com. And the reason that North Mac is not live, it's simple. We got the Illini on the Aux at 1:30, and with daylight savings time, the AM signs off before this ball game's going to be over. So this is the hand we were dealt, so to speak, and we will make the most of it. So we'll have North Mac and Tolono broadcast time about 5 o'clock this evening on FM 106 and WSMIRadio.com. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we return, we will catch up with North Mac head coach Shane Owsley following these messages on Sports Saturday.
9:17 on this Saturday morning. Now back to Sports Saturday, and we join Tim Mice.
All right, thank you very much, David Jenkins. Big day of football across the state, of course. Quarterfinal play in all eight classes today. We've been talking about the Class 3A quarterfinals, the bottom half of the bracket, all sorts of local flavor. Carlinville's at Newton at 3, Tolono Unity traveling to North Mac. 2 o'clock kick, that broadcast will follow our Carlinville-Newton coverage at about 5 this evening on WSMI FM 106 and online at WSMIRadio.com. That's the bottom half of the 3A bracket. The top half of the 3A bracket has 4 11-0 teams. Number 1, Elmhurst IC Catholic. They will host number 4, Wilmington, both 11-0, 5 o'clock kick this evening. And then the second seed, Farmington, they will be at number 6, Monticello, both teams 11-0. That'll be a 2 o'clock kickoff this afternoon in Monticello. Also a 2 o'clock kick today in Verdon. The North Mac Panthers will entertain Tolono Unity. And joining us on the phone right now is North Mac head coach Shane Owsley. And Shane, how you doing this morning, sir?
Very good. How are you guys?
Hey, we cannot complain one bit. And when we've got two state quarterfinal football games on the radio, we're doing very well here at WSMI. And we're going to talk about your game with Tolono in just a moment. But first, I want to look back to last week, Shane. We talked to you when you guys were on your way down to Anna to take on Anna Jonesboro. And I would imagine you got the exact type of game you thought you were going to.
We did. We knew watching film that it was going to be a very physical game. They had some very, you know, good-sized kids up front, and we're just basically a physical running power team, and that's kind of what we got. And again, we kind of started slow, which has kind of been our MO for the entire season, but I think as time went along, we kind of were able to wear on them a little bit, and we were able to come out with victory.
Did you think it would come down to a field goal?
I didn't. I mean, I thought it would probably be a very competitive game. Again, you know, with the long travel, regardless of the quality of the opponent or anything like that. It's always hard to adjust to something like that and getting kids out of routine. But we knew going forward it was going to be a pretty competitive game, and fortunately it came out on our side.
What was the atmosphere like down there?
It was very neat. I mean, for some reason we went to Chester last year, and it was very similar to Anna this season, where it was, you know, the field's kind of cut out of the middle of a hill and you're surrounded on all sides. So it was a very cool atmosphere. They were very hospitable. Great people down there, very friendly, and they all wished us luck as we moved on.
Well, if you move on, you will host Tolono Unity today, and I would imagine, Shane, that you are happy to get the team that knocked you out last year.
We are. I mean, that's something that our seniors this year have kind of put on the calendar. We kind of knew going forward with the number of kids that they were going to bring back that any trip that we had planned or hoped to get to a state title would probably at some point run into Tolono. They've got, you know, a great program, and they just continue to win year in and year out. So, you know, we sometimes talk about revenge a little bit, but in other words, we also know that, you know, last year's team has graduated, as is theirs, so it really has no bearing on this year's game.
Based on the film you've seen from them this year, how different are they this year as opposed to last year's team?
They're really not. I mean, they've got a returning quarterback that started for them last year as a sophomore who does a very good job on the read offense that they run. I think they did lose some of their speed on the outside a little bit, but again, a team like that doesn't kind of rebuild. They simply reload. So I look for a very similar team to what they did last year, and they've had a lot of success doing what they've been doing. So I don't see many adjustments probably coming this way.
Shane, what do you feel that you guys learned from last year's game that maybe throughout the entire season you've kind of taken with you?
Well, I think the one thing that we found out is we thought we were a pretty good team last year, and we played Toledo in the second round, and we realized that we still had a lot to improve if we were going to move on to that next level. So that's the number one thing, and the next thing I think we learned as we watched film is just how costly turnovers can be. It was a situation where we turned the ball over early and often, and for some reason we had a hard time recovering for that. So we're going to have to make sure that we take care of the football today, and then also make sure that we rely on our kids to do their jobs and their jobs only. I think last year when we got behind a score or two, we had kids trying to do a little too much and kind of play outside of themselves. And this year, hopefully, we can rely on our brothers a little more and trust them to do their job, and that way we can take care of our own.
Shane, I'll begin to get your thought on this, but last year you guys had a little easier time of it in terms of some of your final scores and the margins, opposed to this year where you had some tough ball games throughout the year. So with that in mind, I would think you guys are more prepared and better equipped to handle those types of situations this time around.
I would hope so. I mean, I think it was a situation last year where we kind of caught up and snuck up on some people, maybe some teams that didn't expect us to be as good as we were last year. So I think that was part of it, you know, and I think possibly going into the Moroa game, as much as as I don't like to say it, it may have helped us a little bit and refocused a little bit, letting us know that, you know, there was still work to be done. So I don't think it's going to be a situation where if we're in a close game that our kids are going to freeze up, because we've basically done it every single week this season.
It's not every week. It's certainly playoff time where a high school game comes down to a field goal, but I know that you've had supreme confidence in your special teams all season.
We do, and that's something that we know even from week one, that at some point in the season that's probably going to be the difference. And you know, our kicker Logan York, who came out for football, you know, this year for the first time, his senior season, had always been a soccer player. So for him to be able to put us into that second round game and then, you know, kick the game winning field goal was pretty huge for him. And I know the coaching staff and his teammates have all the confidence in the world in him. So he talked to me yesterday and said anywhere from the 35-yard line in, he's automatic. So we're going to make sure we utilize that as many times as possible.
And it does seem that every high school kicker around here was a soccer player at some point.
It is, and as a football coach, I'm constantly joking with him and telling him that that's exactly what soccer's for, is to create kickers for football. So I don't think everybody exactly buys into that, but thus far, it's definitely transferred for us.
Shane, congratulations on a great season so far. We hope there's just a couple more games involved. And if you guys win today and Carlinville wins today, oh my goodness, a Macoupin County showdown for a trip to state.
Yeah, I can't imagine, as I live in Carlinville, like I kind of told my wife, it's either going to be the greatest day of my life or it's going to be a situation where I have to pack up and move. So, yeah, it's going to be a situation where, you know, it's kind of a dream scenario. Our kids are friends and talk to each other quite a bit. So if it was a situation where we could possibly play to go into a state championship game, would be something very special.
We certainly hope it happens. A lot of work to do. Shane, thanks for your time today. We'll talk to you next week, sir.
All right, thank you, guys.
Shane Owsley, the head coach of the North Mac Panthers. And it's funny how sports works out, David. The team that bounced you last year, you get them again.
Right. And he mentioned the speed may not be back like it was last year. I believe that was the speed that won them a state track title.
I think that's right.
So, yeah, that state track title team is not back. So it could play a huge difference, although, as he mentioned, they reload and they don't rebuild. So it'll be a tough test. Of course, as many times as we've covered Toledo Unity games in the postseason, I think we've always been at Toledo. I think this might be the first time we've covered Toledo here in our area.
Yeah, so. I think you very well could be right about that.
Yeah, so we'll see how Toledo is at playing on the road when they have to travel quite a ways.
That'll be a great atmosphere today.
It will be.
Over in Vernon. So Carlinville and Newton, that game will kick at 3, live pregame coverage at 2:45 here on FM 106. We'll have the North Mac Toledo Unity broadcast at 5 o'clock on FM 106. We'll stream it all at WQSMIRadio.com. If you're heading to Vernon today, game time 2.
Yeah, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, if North Mac wins today, they are home next week no matter what. Because Newton has played 3 home games. This is their third home game, so they would be on the road. And Carlinville, they would Carlinville and North Mac would have the same number of home games, and North Mac's the better seed. So I think North Mac is at home next week regardless if they win.
I think that is right. This is where I always get a little confused with the way that the IHSA determines the home games. But I think at some point it does come down to how many home games have you played. I don't know
North
if it would make a
Newton
difference.
Hasn't played on the road yet.
Yeah, they've been home the entire time.
So I think the road, if North Mac wins, the road to the championship game goes through North Mac.
That works for Shane Owsley and the Panthers. You tell them at the start of the year that you could potentially have two games in your home field to go to state.
Mm-hmm.
They would take that. And, of course, on the other side for Carlinville, regardless, they're on the road the rest of the way.
Right. So, yeah, exciting times.
Big time.
We are all hoping for a Carlinville-North Mac semifinal game.
You know, a few years ago, of course, when Staunton made their Cinderella run to the state championship game, they beat Gillespie in the state quarterfinals. And that game was ridiculous in terms of the atmosphere, but it would have nothing on Carlinville-North Mac for a trip to state.
That was just a fantastic playoff run in general because you had Gillespie and Staunton, and then the next week you had Staunton and Auburn. So, I mean, none of our teams really had to go all that far outside of Carmi. So,
yeah, that was a bit of a trek.
Yeah, just a little bit.
That's right. So there's going to be a fun day of football here on the Tally Broadcasting Stations, WSMI FM 106, with Carlinville at Newton and Tolono Unity at North Mac. Both those games here on FM 106. Of course, Fighting Illini football today. They are at Wisconsin. We'll have that with live coverage beginning at 1:30 on 105.3 The Yaks. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more following these messages.
9:29 on this Saturday morning. Now back to Sports Saturday, and we join Tim Mize.
Thank you very much, David Jenkins. We'll jump back into football in just a moment at the high school level. College basketball started last night. Illinois picked up a win over Southeast Missouri State to start their season. Malcolm Hill had 21 points for Illinois as they won 81-62. And
probably the biggest storyline in that game, Tracy Abrams made it through the game.
Very good news, of course. He's had season-ending injuries the last two campaigns. And for Illinois, nice win. Not the best win a team from Illinois had last night, though. SIU Edwardsville beat Hawaii.
How about that?
69-68. So congratulations to SIUE. Big win over Hawaii.
I'll look up where they played exactly. Because if they got to play at Hawaii, that's icing on the cake.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, trip to Hawaii, nice. A trip to Hawaii and a win, very nice. All right, let's turn our attention back to the high school football quarterfinal playoff round. And we've been focusing our attention, of course, on Class 3A today with Carlinville and North Mac both still alive in the bottom half of the 3A bracket. In Class 1A, Calhoun is still alive. They will be at Tuscola this afternoon. Calhoun is 8-3. Tuscola is 11-0. And historically, that has been a tough place to go and try to pick up a playoff win in Tuscola. So we'll see if Calhoun can get that done. Warrensburg-Latham, they are at Decatur-St. Teresa this afternoon at 1:30. That is the bottom half of the 1A bracket. And the top half of 1A, you've got Ottawa-Marquette at Freeport-Aquin. That's 11-0 versus 10-1. And then Forreston at 11-0, they will be at Lena Winslow, who is 9-2. And, of course, it's never a surprise to see Lena Winslow playing in the state championship game. In Class 2A, you have Marrora Forsyth. They will host DeCoin this afternoon at 2. So last week, North Mac went down to Anna Jonesboro to take on a Southern Power. This week, DeCoin comes up. Of course, they're a traditional Southern Power as well. They will come up to Marrora Forsyth, and that will be a heck of a ball game.
It will be. And Marrora Forsyth, part of that great week of football last week, I think they won by 7, something like that. Athens, another Sangamo team, lost by 1 to St. Teresa. So last week may have been one of the best weeks of football we've had in a long time.
It was really sensational. The other game in the bottom half of 2A has Champaign-St. Thomas More at 8-3 on the road, taking on Shelbyville, also 8-3. That'll be a 2 o'clock kick this afternoon. In the top half of Class 2A, you'll have Deer Creek Mackinac at 10-1. They will travel to State Power Sterling Newman Central Catholic at 11-0. That'll be a 1 o'clock kick. Of course, Newman Central, that's who beat Staunton in the championship game a few years ago and then famously tried to recruit Marcus Sitko to come play for him the following year.
How did that work out?
Marcus declined.
No. No, thank you.
No, don't think so. In Class 4A, two games were played last night in 4A. Johnsburg, they beat Genoa Kingston. That was a matchup of two 11-0 teams. Johnsburg wins it 42-13. And Canton, they slipped past Breeze Modern Day 43-42. So the Cinderella run for Modern Day is over at 7-5. Canton moves on with a 10-2 record. Now Canton, their prize for beating Breeze Modern Day, either Rochester or Belleville Altoff Catholic.
Boy.
So Canton's had a nice year. It will end next week. Rochester at 10-1 will be on the road at Altoff. That'll be a 7 o'clock game tonight. And I do believe that was the game last year.
That's the rematch from last year's game.
Where Altoff beat them.
Yeah, and it was, I believe, well, by seedings, it was not an upset.
But it was an upset. Absolutely. So that's the bottom half of 4A. Top half of 4A, Johnsburg will get the winner of Chicago Phillips and Hersher. That'll be a game at 6 o'clock tonight. In Class 5A, in the top half of the bracket, you've got Sterling, the one seed at 11-0. They will be at Sycamore High this afternoon at 1. Sycamore 7-4 on the year. Woodstock Marion, they are 7-4 also. They will be at Vernon Hills, who's 8-3. That's a 1 o'clock kick today. Those are the top half of the bracket games in Class 5A. In the bottom half of the 5A bracket, you'll have Washington at 9-2. At Peoria, who is 10-1, 7 o'clock kick tonight. And then Metamora at 8-3. They will be on the road at Morris tonight, who is 9-2, actually this afternoon, for a 3 o'clock kick. In Class 6A, Sacred Heart Griffin, they are traveling north all the way up to Rock Island today for their quarterfinal game. Of course, Griffin undefeated on the year. Rock Island is 9-2. That will be a 3 o'clock kickoff today in Rock Island for SHG. The other bottom half game in 6A has Lamont at 11-0. They will be on the road at Burbank St. Lawrence for a 5 o'clock kick this evening. In the top half of 6A, you will have Lake Forest at 8-3. At number one, Crystal Lake Prairie Ridge, who is undefeated at 11-0. 1 o'clock kick today in Crystal Lake. And then Cary Grove at 10-1. They are on the road at DeKalb for a 1 o'clock kick this afternoon in the Class 6A quarterfinals. And then 7A and 8A, they did not split the seedings at all. They seeded 7 and 8A 1 through 32. So you've got some pretty big seeds that are still alive in both of these classes. In 7A, on the bottom half of the bracket, East St. Louis, 11-0, they will travel to Villa Park Willowbrook. They're a 23 seed at 8-3 for a 2 o'clock kick this afternoon. Lyle Bennett Academy, they will be at Rolling Meadows, 11-3 in terms of seeding for a 6 o'clock kick this evening. In the top half of 7A, 8-seeded Rockford Auburn will be at 16-seed Plainfield North. That'll be a 2 o'clock kick. And then Oak Park Fenwick, they're the 4-seed at 10-1. They will travel to the 28-seed Algonquin Jacobs for a 3 o'clock kick this afternoon. And then the big boys, the biggest of the big in Class 8A, Edwardsville, they are still alive. They will be hosting Glenbard West. Glenbard West, a 20 seed. Edwardsville, a 12 seed. That'll be a 1 o'clock kick this afternoon in Edwardsville. Of course, the Tigers only lost this year at the hands of their rivals from East St. Louis.
That was a close game last week, I believe, for Edwardsville. They were down, I think, 14-0.
They came back and won. I think 31-14 was the final.
Okay. So, yeah, they after a bad start, they got things together.
Finished strong. If Edwardsville can win today, they would get the winner of Wilmette Loyola Academy, who's the one seed in 8A. They are on the road at 24th-seeded Huntley for a 1 o'clock kick. And then in the bottom half of 8A, you've got Maine South out of Park Ridge, a 26th-seed, at 18th-seed Frankfort Lincoln Way East. And then St. Charles East, the 6th-seed, will be at number 3-seed Palatine, 11-0 for a 5 o'clock kick. And if you're thinking, St. Charles, Missouri? There is a St. Charles, Illinois, and it is up north.
It's like north of Chicago, isn't it?
It's up there.
Yeah, it's up there.
One of our night guy, Tom, I want to tell the story on the air. There was some concert that he really badly wanted to see. I don't remember who the group was. He was like, oh, they're in St. Charles. Excellent. So he got online, bought the tickets, and then promptly realized, oh, that's St. Charles, Illinois, not St. Charles, Missouri.
Yeah, it's a little bit further. A
little bit. He did not go.
Other direction.
The complete opposite direction. So it's going to be a fun day of football across the state. Should be a good day of weather across the state. This is the type of temperatures you expect this time of year. So it's going to be a very fun day of football. Big day for the volleyball. Their state championship games will be today for all four classes as West Prairie will take on Lanark Eastland. That'll be about 10:30 this morning for the 1A volleyball state championship. The 2A state championship for volleyball has St. Joe Ogden and Eureka about 2 o'clock this afternoon. The 3A volleyball state championship has Woodstock Marion taking on Chicago Heights Marion at around 5:30 this evening. And then in the 4A volleyball state championship tonight, Manuka takes on Chicago Mother Macaulay at around 9 o'clock this evening. But odds are they will get behind schedule up in Bloomington at Redbird Arena, actually in Normal, as the third place game for 1A will start at 9 o'clock, and then they will be off and rolling from there. So if you're planning to head up and watch some state championship volleyball today, the first title game scheduled for 10:30 this morning. And that will be a fun day up in Redbird Arena. 4 state trophies to be handed out in one day.
Usually is. Usually is a fun day up there. Go hang around out there.
It's easy. I mean, it's easy to kind of forget about volleyball at this point because so much attention gets put onto these later rounds of the football playoffs, but there'll be some good quality volleyball played up at Redbird Arena today in Normal. Don't forget, we'll have Carlinville at Newton this afternoon, 2:45 with the pregame coverage for the 3 o'clock kick here on FM 106. The Tolono Unity North MAC broadcast will come your way at 5 o'clock this evening on FM 106 and online at WSMIRadio.com. That game will actually be played this afternoon at 2 o'clock in Verdon. And then Fighting Illini football for you today as well at Wisconsin, who I believe is ranked number 7 in the nation this week. 1:30 pregame, 2:30 kick from Wisconsin on 105.3, the Ox.
That Hawaii-SIUE game, that was at Hawaii, by the way.
Hey, there you go.
So, yeah.
Nice.
Those Edwardsville kids, they got it made.
That's awesome. Yeah. And see, I don't know how it works for basketball, but in football, I remember when I was at Eastern, Tony Romo was there, and they went out and played Hawaii, but they got paid like $250,000 to go out and get run over by about 40 points. I don't know if it's – I don't think it's probably the same way in basketball where they're paying large sums of money to have these schools come out.
They're probably – I would think they're similar size, or they're similar conference size at least, because remember, they're – I know football, they're different, but basketball – well, maybe Hawaii's a little bit bigger.
Well, yeah, in football, that was back when Eastern would have been 1AA.
Right.
And, of course, now SIU's into the Ohio Valley, which is the same conference as Eastern. But in basketball, they're straight D1. There is no separation there.
Right. So I don't know. I guess Hawaii is bigger probably, but
Think it is.
I don't know how that works. I don't know how it works in basketball.
That's a great win, though, for SIUE. Mm-hmm. Of course, they've been ramping up here into the Division I level for a few seasons now, and that could be a program, not defining necessarily, but program-changing type of win for SIUE when you can go out and beat a bigger D1 school like they did and then go have some fun on the beach.
How many years have they been D1 now? It's not been that long.
Not less than 10. More than 5, yeah. I feel like, though.
Yeah, sounds about right. Sounds like something for a research department.
Get the R&D department
R&D
on
department,
that.
R&D
department,
yep.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more following these messages.
9:44 on the Saturday morning, and we're back to Sports Saturday, and we join Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you so much. Let's set the broadcast schedule again for you this afternoon. State quarterfinal football in Class 3A. Carlinville traveling to Newton. 3 o'clock kick, pregame live at 2:45 here on FM 106, streaming at WSMIRadio.com. North MAC will host Tolono Unity this afternoon. The game will kick at 2, and we'll have the broadcast following our coverage of Carlinville and Newton here on FM 106, and we'll be streaming both those ball games today at WSMIRadio.com. And with the deep postseason runs here of Carlinville and North MAC, what that means is we will not have a gap between our high school football and high school basketball coverage, as we will have our first girls basketball broadcast on Tuesday. The traditional opener, as T. Tote would say, it will be Litchfield Nokomis. And David, do you have the sports log in front of you with that contest? I don't remember if it's at Litchfield or at Nokomis coming up on Tuesday.
That's at Nokomis.
At Nokomis. So Litchfield at Nokomis Girls High School Basketball Tuesday night live coverage at around 7:30 on WSMI FM 106. We'll stream that as well at WSMIRadio.com.
I think it's at 7:15 will be our coverage start. So, yeah.
If the JV game doesn't go into overtime.
This is true.
That's been known to happen. Nothing worse than a JV game going to overtime. It should be outlawed. It shouldn't even be allowed to happen.
Well, those kids got to have practice for overtime, too.
No, they don't.
I got to get work somehow.
4 quarters is more than enough work.
Yeah, but overtime situations are different. I got to learn somehow.
You're not wrong, David. but it messes up our broadcast schedule when the JV game goes
overtime.
Overtime.
Just one overtime.
Okay. Okay.
Multiple overtimes, that's enough.
Okay. I can get on board with that.
Yeah. And maybe even a shortened overtime.
But, it's not soccer. Ties in basketball do not happen.
Well, they can in JV. Just leave it
not
that.
Yet.
Leave
Hopefully
it
they can someday.
Yeah.
Speaking of soccer, the U.S. men's national team, they were hoping, as the game went along last night, to maybe get a 1-1 draw. But then in the 89th minute, Rafa Marquez put a header home, and Mexico beat the U.S. 2-1 last night in a World Cup qualifier, the first home loss in a World Cup qualifier for the men's national team since 2001.
Yeah, I was going to say that's right. I don't remember who that was against. I'd want to say Mexico because it seems like Mexico has their number, but I don't know.
They didn't before this. The U.S. had beaten Mexico in this game in the World Cup qualifying 4 straight years with 2-0 scores.
Seems like Mexico has always had the U.S.'s number. But
at
I guess,
Mexico they have.
Okay, yeah. By the way, Wisconsin is ranked number 7th in the college football playoff poll you mentioned, so you were right. Because that's the poll that really matters.
It's the only one that matters in
Alabama.
Can anybody beat Alabama at this point? I mean, they look so awesome. Who?
It's my bias, but I think Ohio State can. Of course they can.
I mean, there's teams, you know, Washington is good, Clemson is good, Ohio State's good, Michigan's good. But when I watch Alabama, they just look like they are on a different level than everybody else. Nick Saban, to say he's a great coach doesn't even do it justice.
Yeah.
That man is amazing.
He is. That's fine. They can think that.
But it's true.
It is. But I don't think they're going to win.
David
at all.
Hates the SEC, by the way.
I do not like the SEC.
You
I think it's overrated.
You hate the SEC.
No, this is true. Because I think it's overrated.
The top half of the league is not overrated. The league as a whole
is correct,
overrated.
Yes. Alabama is great. Yeah, I won't deny that. LSU, with the exception of the last couple of years, has been a powerhouse. I mean, you can even throw Auburn into that mix as well. But outside of those three schools, I mean, nobody does anything.
You're absolutely right. Mississippi State.
Florida under Urban Meyer as well, but since Urban Meyer left, that's...
Right.
Yeah.
Mississippi State, trash.
Mm-hmm.
Like Vanderbilt and
Vanderbilt's
Kentucky,
never won
garbage.
Anything. Kentucky, there were so... And this is you know, this proves my point. There were so many people who were like, Kentucky could compete for a national title this year. Yeah, where are they now?
In what, basketball?
No, football. There were people who were like, Kentucky's a sleeper team this year. They may compete for an SEC title, maybe even a playoff spot. Oh. And I was like, yeah, where are they now?
If they're a sleeper team, they're still sleeping because they haven't shown up yet.
They've got about 4 or 5 losses probably.
And then you've got Mizzou.
Yeah.
What a dumpster fire they are.
To me, it says more about the SEC that the fact that Mizzou and Texas A&M came in and competed right away. Because there were so many people who were like, the SEC is this great conference who's superior to everybody. And yeah, they may be the best conference in the nation, but it's not as big a gap as you would think it is. I mean, it's closer than you're led to believe.
Yeah, and to me, a lot of this goes back to a number of years ago, basically when Saban got to Alabama and Urban Meyer was at Florida, Les Miles with LSU, he had them strong. So you basically had three of the top, you know, certainly 10, maybe 5 teams in the country consistently there for a number of years. But the underbelly of that league was always soft.
Yeah, absolutely. East Division, your Eastern Conference in general, East Division, I guess it would be, is weak. Florida was in that, but since Urban Meyer left Florida, the eastern side has just been a joke. I mean,
so we're talking about the greatness of Nick Saban. Urban Meyer, I think, is probably on that same level when you think about how quickly he turned Ohio State back into that national power that they're so accustomed to being.
Yeah. I mean, only had 1 year in between Trussell and Urban Meyer, and Luke Fickell was the head coach during that year. And he's
that
now,
didn't go well.
500. I mean, it wasn't terrible.
That's not good for Ohio State. That's terrible for Ohio State, let's be honest.
But it was such a weird year, though. I mean, it was that you lost Trestle because he resigned because of the allegations. You lost half of your team because of the allegations. And he still led him to a 500 record. And, you know, now he's their defensive coordinator. He's a pretty good coach, just, you know, you had the chance to hire Urban Meyer.
Oh,
if they didn't, if Urban Meyer wasn't going to be there, they were still going to keep Fickell. But, you know, Urban Meyer was there, so I was like, well, why aren't you going to hire
him? And that tells you how comfortable Urban Meyer is with his ability and his coaching skill.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of lesser coaches would be very intimidated about keeping the previous coach on staff.
Mm-hmm.
Urban Meyer don't care about that. He's a great coach. We're going to keep him.
And they continue to continue to get talent from all over the country. So I think they're pretty exciting to watch. They have that loss to Penn State, rivalry game. I mean, Ohio State's the team with a bullseye on the back every week. So.
Well, they lost it because their field goal got blocked and ran back for a touchdown. That's the only reason they lost.
Yeah.
But that very well might keep them out of the playoffs.
It might. However, if they went out and beat Michigan, they're in the playoffs. So it's a better loss than you would think.
And speaking of Michigan, talking about how Urban Meyer got Ohio State back, Michigan was a lot further down the totem pole than Ohio State was, and Jim Harbaugh has done a miracle of a job getting them to where they are at this point, only his second year on the job.
Yeah, we talked about this, I believe, at the beginning of the season, but you look at, I don't know that there's a conference with Urban Meyer and Jim Harbaugh, and I know Illinois is not there, and they're not close to being there, but you look at Urban Meyer, Jim Harbaugh, and Lovie Smith, I would be hard-pressed to find a conference with three bigger-named head coaches in all the land than the Big Ten right now, which is those three.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty good trio, especially now that Les Miles isn't at LSU anymore.
Yeah, it's a good trio of coaches.
Yeah,
Illinois, though, not quite in that clash.
No, not yet. But that's what I'm saying. Yeah, they're not there yet. But as far as coaching names goes, three pretty big names.
And even though Michigan State is down this year, that was still a very good win for the Illini last week. Anytime Illinois can win a Big Ten football game, it's a job well done.
Yeah, you mentioned it off the air before the show started. That win doesn't happen under Tim Beckman. Even with Michigan State being down, they're probably not even in that game. So we'll see. We'll see how the rest of the season shakes out. I don't know what the remainder of Illinois' schedule looks like. So who are they playing today? Wisconsin. That's at Wisconsin. That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah. They still got one of the big boys left, too, whether it's Ohio State. They still got to play Ohio State.
They have not played Ohio State yet.
Still got to play them.
Yeah. So, yeah. And they have 6 losses, 3-6.
But two Big Ten wins. That's
right. But, I mean, I don't think they're going to be bowl eligible. Already 6 losses, I think. They lost to Western Michigan this year, so that says a lot, too. Even though Western Michigan is unbeaten.
Well, yeah. I joked that day, too. That's the day Lovie Smith officially became an Illini when he lost to a directional school. Welcome to the program, Lovie.
They beat Northwestern, too. I mean, I know that's not much better, but.
Well, in Western Michigan, that's out of the MAC. I mean, they're traditionally one of the better programs out of that MAC conference, which is a very good mid-major football conference.
Probably one of the best mid-major football conferences in the country.
Probably so.
Yeah.
So we'll see what Illinois can get done today. Lovie Smith, obviously, just starting building his program up. He's going to have time. The basketball Fighting Illini in a little bit of a different situation where John Gross, it just feels like, and I like John Gross. I hope he's around for a while. But it just feels like if Illinois doesn't have a good season this year, he might be in trouble.
It's probably NCAA tournament birth or bust this year because he's missed the tournament the last 2 years, which the Illini haven't done. They haven't missed the tournament back-to-back years in a long time. They've at least made it, you know, once every 2 years. So if they don't make it this year, that's bad. And I feel like they really do need to keep him, though, going into next year because the recruiting class he's got next year is, without a doubt, his best. So the fear for Illini fans has to be if you fire him, do you lose those recruits?
And it's not always the coach's fault. The football situation was different. Tim Beckman was awful.
This
he made some terrible decisions, and he deserved to be fired for stuff that had nothing to do with on-field performance. But when you start getting rid of coaches every 3-4 years because you're not having the on-court or on-field success that you think you should be having, that is very rarely the recipe to have that success. You got to have the continuity. You got to have that consistency at the top and give a guy time to get his guys in.
And he does have his guys now. I believe outside of Tracy Abrams, they're all his guys, and Tracy Abrams was obviously
he should have been gone 2 years ago.
He's a special circumstance, so yeah.
And there's a kid that you root for.
Mm-hmm.
Tracy Abrams, of course, he has had season-ending injuries, knee and Achilles, I think, in back-to-back years. Yes, just stay healthy because he's a good ball player, but at this point, you just want him to be able to play this season with health.
He's that much more important with Kendrick Nunn not being there. Now, I know Nunn was a shooting guard and not a point guard, but they were kind of thin at the guard position. And Jalen Tate is a junior now, I believe. Or is he a senior this year?
I believe he's a junior.
Okay, so he has not been great in his first 2 years either. So you really needed that senior leadership out of Tracy Abrams and out of the point guard position. So it's good to have him back. They're gonna go as far as he goes this year.
It's funny the way that it worked out. Of course, Kendrick Nunn and Jalen Tate both coming out of Simeon High School in Chicago, the basketball powerhouse, but they were on the same high school team that won four state championships in a row with Jabari Parker. And then Kendall Pollard was the fourth guy on that team. They all went D1. But as it's turned out, Pollard went to Dayton. He's turned out to have the best collegiate career of all of them, Jabari Parker included, because he only stayed 1 year, and then Duke lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament with him, so that's unacceptable. So as it turned out, Pollard has had the best collegiate career of all those Simeon guys.
Yeah, and, I mean, you look at a guy like Malcolm Hill out of Belleville East.
Oh, he's had a great career.
Great career, and you would think traditionally those guys out of Belleville East don't have great careers in the collegiate level, but boy, he's a monster.
Yeah, I mean, even though that Belleville East plays, you know, big boy basketball throughout the year,
they're not known as a powerhouse when it comes to college recruits.
It's not Chicago. Let's just be honest. I mean, a lot of the best basketball players in the state come from the Chicagoland area.
I believe, but isn't one of the top 50 kids for next year's recruiting class? He is out of Belleville East, I believe, and he's going to SLU, isn't that right?
Well, they've got a kid from Belleville East that committed to the Illini.
Right, but there's two of them. Okay. I think there's two of them, and the other, Hill was trying to recruit him to go to the Illini. I think SLU got him with new head coach Travis Ford.
I tell you what, he's put together a pretty good recruiting class as Travis Ford.
Yeah.
And, you know, SLU has proven when they have a really good head coach, they are a formidable program.
Yeah,
think about Charlie Spoonhauer and Rick Majerus. Great teams under those guys. Other than that, pretty mediocre.
Yeah, they were really reeling after the loss of Rick Majerus because Jim Crews, I mean, he was good as an assistant coach, but just couldn't get the job done. He had some good carryover from the Majerus teams with the I'm blanking on the kid's name. The dreadlocks.
Jordaire Jett.
That's it. Great player, led him to, you know, an upset, you could say, win in the NCAA tournament, even though they were a 5 seed. And NC State was leading the whole game, and they still won. So, yeah, I mean, Cruz, the writing was on the wall for Cruz. I mean, he didn't have the same ability to recruit like Majerus did. So, I mean, that's how it goes.
Illinois back in action on Sunday, hosting Northern Kentucky. 6 o'clock game time, 5 o'clock on 105.3 The Ox. And they play McKendree on Tuesday. How about that?
Remember, though, these games, I mean, they are still important that they win them, because last year
they lost
those games.
They sure did.
They started out 1-2, I believe.
Yeah, the trip to Springfield did not go well for the Illini last year. Hopefully the trip in Newton today for Carlinville goes a lot better than that. They will kick at 3, live coverage 2:45 here on FM 106. North Mac will entertain Tolono Unity this afternoon. The game time is at 2. We'll have the broadcast at about 5 o'clock this evening following Carlinville and Newton. Both 3A state quarterfinal games here on FM 106, streaming at WSMIRadio.com. Good luck to the Cavies. Good luck to the Panthers. If they both win, they will play each other next week for a trip to state.
Exciting times.
We hope that happens.
Oh, yeah. We can root for it. They're rooting for it, too, but we can look ahead like that.
We can plan to look ahead to it. That's exactly right. David Jenkins, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Sports Saturday is done here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. This is WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on. Go Carlinville and North Mac.